Now to Alton Brown, one of America's best-known food personalities. He's the host and creator of Good Eats, the Food Network's scientific cooking show.
Ever wonder why cutting an onion can feel like a tear gas attack?
He's because the host of the competitive cooking show, Iron Chef America.
I want a cheesy!
And he stars in a program about eating on the road called Feasting on Asphalt.
To be honest, what I'm in the mood for is a truck stop.
In 2007, Brown and his crew spent 26 days on the road looking for local color and good road food. They traced the Mississippi River north from the Gulf of Mexico to its headwaters in Minnesota. The adventure was aired on the Food Network last fall. Now Brown has published a companion book about the journey, Feasting on Asphalt, The River Run is part cookbook, part diary, and part memoir. And here to talk about it is Alton Brown. Alton, what a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk.
Okay, you and your nine buds have motorcycles and said, hey, I know what, let's go up the Mississippi River.
Well, the Mississippi is really America's original highway. We would not be what we are without the Mississippi. So we had done one Feasting on Asphalt already where we had crossed the country from east to west. So the natural thing to do was to go north to south or south to north up this amazing highway that really is kind of the aorta of America.
You started in New Orleans. I mean, please, you know, again.
Well, we started all the way at the very, very, very end of the river at Head of Passes, which is, you know, practically halfway out in the Gulf, quite a bit south of New Orleans to really get the full trip.
What'd you have to eat?
You know, there's not a lot to eat down there because there's still not a lot there. We ate at one place that was a little barbecue joint on the side of the road that had kind of rebuilt, you know, and the people that were working there were living in FEMA trailers and, you know, getting up early in the morning and starting the barbecue and baking biscuits. And it was a really good send-off for the trip because we were really kind of looking for tradition and nostalgia in a place where it had all been wiped away.
On your trip through Louisiana toward Mississippi, you stopped at, is it Kleibert's Turtle and Alligator Tours?
Yeah, and it's basically, oh man, Kleibert takes us inside this fence where this giant pond is and leaves us there. he leaves us. And to go off to get frozen Nutra, which is the little rodent that they feed to the alligators. And, you know, I'm standing on this concrete kind of ramp, you know, as these dinosaurs essentially start kind of lumbering up because they assume that I've brought something to eat. You know, those things can move very quickly when they get a mind to.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to face it because, I mean, we eat them, right? And,
yeah.
And how often do you get to face something that we eat that could eat you?
That's true.
So, you know, face to face with a big reptile that you intend to eat, I felt that was necessary.
Tell us about the face a guy made when you were on the road that you told him you were going north and he basically said, you know, why?
Yeah.
Why are you going outside Louisiana?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
He snorted. It was kind of, there's nothing up there. You know, he really did believe that beyond the northern border of Louisiana, all worthwhile food ceased to exist. Of course, that wasn't the case.
Right.
But the people in Louisiana certainly seemed sure of it.
You moved across the border into Mississippi and you had catfish given with spaghetti?
Yeah. And I, you know, ignorant white boy, I guess. I had not heard of spaghetti catfish dinners and didn't put together why that combination would be potent. And, of course, it's potent because it's cheap. Catfish is plentiful, and spaghetti in large amounts is very simple to make and very inexpensive.
What are culicles? Is that how I pronounce it?
Culicle, yeah.
Culicles,
you
Mississippi.
Nailed it, culicle. The first time I locked eyes on a culicle, I thought I was looking at something like a preserved armadillo spleen because I had never seen a dill pickle pink. So my brain immediately did not say, that's a pickle. I thought, that's an organ, you know, something. But it's basically a kosher dill that has been re-cured in a souped-up Kool-Aid solution. This sounds hideous. It is refreshing, sweet and tart, you know, sour, salty. It's fantastic.
Barbecue. I mean, you really traveled south to north, mm-hmm. eating barbecue along the way. Is there one standout?
Yeah, it would be Prince Barbecue, and I'm trying to remember the
Bardwell, Kentucky.
Yeah, the really groovy thing about this place was they only make so much because it's this one guy who's making this, and people were driving in, and we had taken the last of the barbecue, and I'd see them go up to the little booth, and they'd have a few words with them, and then they'd look over at us, like, I hate you, you foreigners, you know, coming in here. And I actually kind of found myself kind of turning away, you know, like, they're either going to come take my barbecue away or they hate me for having it. But the thing that I most regret about the whole trip is that they were just putting on mutton. You have no idea how difficult it is to find mutton in this country, which, of course, is sheep, that's over a year old. It's not lamb anymore. And once a week, this guy smokes for like 18 hours, several whole sides of mutton. And he only does this on Thursdays and Fridays, and he only sells it on Saturday mornings. And I wanted nothing more. We couldn't stay. We had to move on. But that would have been a real pilgrimage.
As you traveled north, how did the food change? I mean, anecdotally, one would think it would go from hot and spicy to white.
That wouldn't be an unfair analogy. What happens is that it becomes subtle. In the South, where food is fixated upon, and it's not just a point of pride, it is the primary cultural touch point. As you move north, certainly as you move into places like Missouri and Iowa, things change. But they don't just get white and mild. You just have to start looking at real subtleties. There's still a lot of flavor there. It's just not going to hit you in the head with a baseball bat the way that it does down south.
Your last place, it's too cold to camp out, so you stay at the Nordic Inn.
That's the strangest thing I have ever beheld. It was like falling into a David Lynch movie.
It's in Crosby, Minnesota.
Yeah, and I can't sum up that experience. I think that for us, part of it was fatigue. We were really rode out, you know, at this point of the game. And then all of a sudden, we're in this place where they're dressing us up as Vikings and dressing some of us up as girl Vikings, which is even more uncomfortable.
Dressing you up?
Yeah.
You allowed them to put clothes on your body?
I was just trying to get by, you know, just trying to make it through the day.
Is there footage of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the show, and there's some shots in the book.
But it looks like a hearty meal you had.
Yeah, it was hearty, and most certainly the strangest culinary event of my life.
You took on this trip, you wanted to take a taste of American road food. I don't know, from what you've got in your book and the show, it seems like it's in pretty good shape.
It is still there. To say that it's in pretty good shape, there are a lot of places that are barely hanging on. For instance, two of the places that we visited on the trip, Joe's White Front, which I think is in Rosedale, Mississippi, and then Bright Box in Iowa, which is the oldest restaurant in Iowa, both burned down since the show. And in the case of Joe's White Front, I doubt they even had insurance because this was subsistence, or what I call subsistence restauranting, where you're kind of just barely getting by. You're grandfathered in on 15 different things. And I imagine that place now is gone forever. So they are there, but I wouldn't say that all is well in road food. No, I wouldn't. I mean, we've got an opportunity to save it. You know, the dodo bird's not dead yet, but it's getting there.
Well, going out on the road might be a decent idea. I mean, I don't know, with the price of gas, that's going to be tough for folks to take road trips.
Well, you know, the thing, though, is if you get your head in the right place, you can drive, you know, an easy day's journey someplace and get more out of it and get more out of that tank of gas than you would, you know, flying to Disneyland. The trip in America can be the destination. So I would really like to see people get back on the road and enjoy travel for travel's sake.
Thanks a lot, Alton.
You're very welcome.
Alton Brown is a prominent personality on the Food Network. We've been talking about his book, which is based on his adventures filming the series Feasting on Asphalt. Today, he begins filming a new series, Feasting on Waves. You can find recipes for coolicles, fried pork sandwiches, and pecan coconut pie at npr.org/books.